all the time. Tom was born in a tenement house in Glasgow, Scotland. His daddy was a local shop owner. In 1865, at the age of 15, Tom came to America. Now, back in Scotland, Tom had worked in a number of shops, including his father's, but it was not until working in America that Tom understood the potential of merchandising. In 5 years, Tom had absorbed all that he could of American merchandising strategy. He then returned to Glasgow, taking with him what he had learned, and on his 21st birthday, Tom opened a shop of his own, a small grocery on Stobcross Street. That was his first step on the road to fame and wealth, and to your grocery store shelf. Not far down that road, Tom met something that would make his name a household word in Scotland. The world's largest cheese. 21-year-old shop owner Tom was determined to use what he had learned in America now, determined to do things right from the start. Advertising his store in Glasgow, Tom then proceeded to make his establishment as attractive as possible. From a pole above the door, he suspended a large wooden ham. In the window, humorous advertisements, drawn by one of Scotland's leading cartoonists. By night, gas jets lit the shop's interior. Tom was playing the American game, anything to attract attention. Business soon picked up. Soon Tom opened a second store. Before he knew it, a decade had passed. His publicity stunts had paid off handsomely. Now folks all over Glasgow were wondering what would Tom do next. Well, the time was right for Tom's wildest plan, an idea he had been considering for some time, a display of the world's largest cheese. Newspaper ads informed Tom's hometown the cheese would be imported from America. Though the exact dimensions and weight of the cheese have been forgotten, the ads tell us it took 6 days and the labor of 200 dairy maids and the milk of 800 cows to produce that cheese. Understandably, Glasgow was in awe. When the steamer bearing this mammoth cheese sailed in, curious crowds, hundreds were waiting at the docks, in the streets. As it was transported to Tom's store, the onlookers cheered. It was early December, 1881. Within days, Tom had implanted gold coins, sovereigns and half-sovereigns, in his cheese mountain. This in imitation of the traditional sixpence in the Christmas pudding. And on Christmas Eve, when the cheese was sliced and put up for sale, a special squad of police was required to control the mob at Tom's grocery shop door. Monster cheeses became a Christmas tradition at Tom's grocery. I'll bet you'd never heard of them. In fact, you'd never heard of Tom at all were it not for a certain something he sold soon after he had become a chain store tycoon and a self-made millionaire. You see, Tom was the first merchant to bag and tag tea. For the Scottish youngster whose first lessons in merchandising were learned in the United States, the young man who brought the American flair for publicity to Glasgow, Scotland, the rising grocery store owner who made a name for himself by implanting gold coins in a monstrous mountain of cheese, is remembered today and seen every day, his likeness, in your grocery store for a comparatively insignificant something labeled tea bags. For he was Sir Thomas Johnstone Lipton. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And welcome back to Open Mic Friday, Darsha and Kenny show today. And we had a call come in right at the end of the segment last, right before the top of the hour. So if you'd like to go ahead and call back, we'd love to hear back from you.
What about your text?
And we had the text. I think I addressed the text message, but the text message was essentially, hey, can't we get voter data files from the county clerk recorder? And yes, you can. You have to submit a confidential voter data request and sign off and pay money. But yes, you can. It's about $250 that they're charging, and it's based on the number of files that they release. So We have about 183,000 registered voters in San Luis Obispo County, and we're going to go right to the phone lines. There you go, Kenny. We went right there. I'm telling you, it was not more than 2.5 seconds.
I was stressing her out.
Anyway, so what? Oh, there it is again. I won't even finish my sentence. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to Open Mic Friday.
Thank you. I was sure my number was blocked, but no, it wasn't. It's just when you call, it cuts off the radio, and that's my only source. I get ignorant at that point. Anyway, the privacy barriers, they represent so much to me in this whole good and evil thing. The girls come in, and they're asking for help, and they even filled out a report and turned it in at the office. I would love, without trying to offend anybody, to go in there and say, can I follow the route that these girls took? They gave the paper to you. Maybe I could even see what it says. And could I see what you did with it? Did you do anything with it? Because nobody seemed to know anything or care anything about this, in my point of view. And prove me wrong, please.
I can't, and I agree with you. And I would actually encourage people to do that. Unfortunately, it's a systemic problem in this district, in my opinion. There are no processes or procedures for much of anything. And I was beyond angry when I walked in. You know, when was that meeting? It was March 8th or something like that, where we...
where you did your tour?
Well, the day before. Yeah, when they came in and said, oh, well, you know, any wants... the bathroom trailers, well, we'll just build stalls. Well, why didn't you blankety blank think about that or bring that up earlier? Why did staff sit and watch these girls cry in front of them?
See, that's the way it is.
You know, why did staff
do
that?
That's how the governor wants it. You know, that's how the governor, it's governor's order. We can't fight them.
Yeah. They sat and they watched these girls for 5 months come up in front of that board and ask for help, knowing all along that they had a solution. And they never brought it up. They watched the board argue amongst themselves instead of saying, you know, what a professional would do. And I use that word on purpose to highlight what is lacking. What a professional would have done is would have said, oh, superintendent, we have done this in the boys' bathroom. We could easily do it. And you could have resolved that issue at the beginning of the school
year. Done.
And they didn't want to do that. And I just, it's malicious. And it just angers me. And, you know, when you bring it up to the superintendent, they're like, oh, yeah, I don't understand it either. Well, they're your people. Fix them.
She comes on the radio even and says, sorry, the governor says we got to have neutral bathrooms and the boys and or girls for anyone can go in anyone they want. And so, you know, there's no solution to this. Sorry. So I wrote it down like a math problem. Darn if you didn't go solve it.
Well, here is my bottom line of, you know, going back to what I said earlier, was we're going to get sued one way or the other. I'd rather get sued for doing the right thing.
Depending.
The fact remains that they are still more afraid of the LGBTQ mafia than they are of the population.
Aren't we all?
And so
no.
the LGBTQ mafia, they've been pretty quiet, really, since that bathroom. I haven't seen any of them. I mean, you have the... You know, the regular suspects that show up, and they stopped as soon as that bathroom thing was resolved. I think
I sure appreciate you going over there and looking in the boys and saying, here's a solution, because I couldn't figure anything out to offer, and I'm like, the governor's the problem here.
Well, it's a temporary solution. It's not permanent, in my opinion, but it provides the girls and the boys, I guess, some sense of privacy and dignity. And the dignity aspect is probably the thing that angers me the most, that there's just something sick and wrong about not standing up and protecting your daughters in a community, and everybody was quiet about it.
From what I heard about what the girls were complaining about, I think it sounded like that was the legal case for invasion of privacy, but... Nobody wants to take this up because the state says this is the way it's supposed to be, and we're all just weak and insignificant, even though we're the elected officials and stuff. Not you, Kenny. All this stuff I say is not you, and it's only 50% for about three of others. But anyway, let me get off the phone before I say something stupid.
No, go ahead. I say yeah, thank stupid you for stuff it. All the time.
We need that say back. That's not stupid.
There have been cases. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
There have been cases, and there are cases. You know, the girls down in Harupa, that's a case. And I think that's, you know, that's going to be the case that I hope breaks this illness, this mental illness in California. But it, unfortunately, I'm just not optimistic that it's going to happen until next June and the next Supreme Court cycle. And the other concern I have about the politics of the courts, because these are Biden judges, these judges may delay specifically because they know that the Supreme Court will probably rule against the state of California. So these judges may just sit on it. You know, I maybe a lawyer could call in, because I'm not sure if I know the rules well enough to.
Well, I do know there was
a deadline.
Former lawyer that did address the issue of having it be a criminal issue about indecent exposure. So
I'm all for that as well. But that's going to require somebody that's willing to be a victim.
And I do have a
right now those girls have been through the ringer, and I don't think they're willing. There haven't been, and this isn't in any way a slight on them, but that's a big step. You know, it took a lot of courage to stand up in front of the board. It's going to take 10 times more courage to say, you know, I'm filing a criminal complaint against, you know, whoever they are. That's a big step.
I go back to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. We have founding documents that are we the people. It is not up to a school board to protect the children.
Darsha,
they're supposed and they're not.
That sounds
so
all
when
well
you're
good.
Not.
So when are you going to bring the lawsuit then, Darsha?
I don't believe that it's a lawsuit.
When
I believe that it is we the people
then?
Show up at a high school and say, our girls are going to have their privacy. It's going to start right now. And the text that came in, do the administrators and teachers have to share bathrooms, or is it rules for thee and not for me?
It's rules for thee and not for me.
So instead of that $1.2 million bathroom that's 300 yards away from the kindergarten and pre-kindergarten class, I sat at that board meeting just going, what are you talking about? Try to get a kindergartner that doesn't have a bathroom in that classroom to go all the way across the yard, all the way to another building to be able to go to the bathroom. It's insanity. And $1.2 million.
We have a call.
Okay. Well, welcome to Sound Off. You're Open Mic Friday.
I like your idea, Darsha. We need to get as many people as we can to attend the board meeting with signs. Protect our girls. No girls and boys. No boys and girls sports. No boys and girls sports. And just pound them. Pound them. Embarrass to death. And get the press to show up.
It's amazing how much more courage people had in prior years in the 250 years of founding this country. Because things like treason, things like sedition, things like tar and feathers, those had a purpose, you know, public shaming, public mocking, I guess. But it stands for, we have to stand for our children. It's a pro-human timeline.
Let me address that afterwards. But Dale, I'll address that in a second, but there's another call. In, so.
All right. Thank you. Welcome to Sound Up. Thank you for not letting Kenny finish his statement.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, Semper Fi, Kenny. Hey. So, I hate to say it, but I think what has to happen in order to achieve change is nobody wants that to happen. But I will tell you, if my daughter was going to school and she was raped in a bathroom by a guy that was allowed to use the bathroom, I would sue the school district to break it And I would also Liam Neeson some of the school board members that allowed it to happen. I really would. This is what's going to happen. We can't be cowed by the loud few to believe something, you know, boy is a girl and so forth. We cannot allow ourselves to be cowed and chicken out. And, again, it's going to take something catastrophic. It's like my theory of the homeless people living in the riverbed. It's going to take something catastrophic. One day, one of these fires is going to kill somebody or kill a fireman or kill a first responder, and then maybe we can get the city council to finally clear out the riverbed. But until that time, nobody's going to believe it's a big problem. But I, as a father of two girls, I would certainly engage in some vigilantism besides a lawsuit designed to break the back of the school district.
No, I agree, and I have to be honest.
Thank you.
My fear is that it will take some. It always takes a crisis, and after that, you know, the politicians all thump their chests and cry about how horrible it was, and they are the ones that allowed it to happen, and that's precisely what the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees is doing. You know, every one of those board members has said to me privately, "Well, what, we agree with you." Well, then get off your duff and side with me. The superintendent and staff are all saying the same thing, but nobody wants to do anything. And so that's, and they you know, use the shield of, well, you know, King Gavin says, well, this is where I'll go back to what Dale was saying, what Darcy's saying. I agree with you to a point that, you know, having the mob with pitchforks and torches show up, it can be effective. I'm just not, I've become very cynical in my few years on that school board. I don't think they care. I think their minds have really been made up for them well in advance. Now, the glimmer
of
hope.
If there were 300.
But let me finish. The glimmer of hope that I have, where's that sign that says don't interrupt? The glimmer of hope that I have is there's an election coming up, and three of the biggest progressives are up for re-election. Two of them are done. They don't want to play anymore. Saundra Williams, who, you know, I guess she's run out of tissue at each of the board meetings, and then Joel Peterson, who I'm sure he hears backlash from the, you know, from his profession. And then there's Kogan. And you can get rid of them. And then you've got what's left is you got Nathan Williams, who I won't even talk about him, but you've got, you know, Lauren McCoy and Leo Castillo, who I think could be brought back to the light. And then there's the SOB me. And you could make changes. And, you know, if my philosophy is if Loftus and staff doesn't want to go along with what the board's telling them to do, then you find a new superintendent, you find new staff. But these things, it shouldn't take a crisis, which is always what happens in these.
Well, we do have the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District school bond issue that's now going to be on the ballot. And to me, that there are some major issues just fundamentally with how they carried that forward, and you've continued to bring it to light, the actual wording. So they only have a certain amount of time to change the wording. And if they continue with the wording, then if they knowingly continued with the wording and having it be inaccurate information, and then if they somehow are able to have it pass by 55.01%, which of course I will be tracking very closely. But if it should pass, then that is $400 million. If you want to do an amortization schedule, which is the same as having a mortgage, it's a loan and you're paying back the loan with interest. When you have all of that now is going to go on to the property taxes of all of the landowners in the entire district, we have a lot to be concerned with and we have a lot to be upset with. And we need to make sure that we have great, wonderful, qualified, conservative people that are going to be sitting on that school board come January 1st. It's actually December 7th or something, right? I mean, it's...
Where they get sworn in?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be... It's early December. But, you know, the bottom line, I think, that staff cares about is really money. I hate to say that. I'm sorry to be so cynical, and if people have their feelings hurt, prove me wrong. But when you look at the bond measure, I don't want to go down all the way down that rabbit hole right now because I want to wait a little bit. But you brought up the incorrect wording, and this is the answer that I got from the superintendent. Well, that's what the consultants wrote, and you've said this, Darcia.
Thank you.
And I've said it. And my comment is, that's fine, but you still have a legal and a moral responsibility to check the veracity of the language. You know,
so
if somebody,
at what point do
if
you
somebody
knowingly
pull something off of Grok that says, you know, and I'm going to present that document as an official legal document going to the community. I, as a board member under Prop 39, have a moral responsibility to check that it's accurate. I would bet a fancy steak dinner that nobody else on that board read any of that bond measure. They just parroted whatever staff told them to do. Staff recommends. Ah! It's sad. And this is, you know, this is why you need to have people that are really concerned about, you know, not only the future of these kids, but the future of the country. And they do have a strong moral base. And I've said over and over after Peterson and Kogan attacked me last year, we don't have the same morals anymore in this community.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many of the board members have run a business? How many have controlled budgets where it's their actual money, where they're taking the risk? How many of them have actually done that to the extent that it's $200 million that they're going to be assessing on their neighbors, community, constituents, and onto those property tax rolls? I think
even that shouldn't matter. This is basic right or wrong. It's an issue of honor. You don't lie.
On that note, we're going to go to the break, and we have a couple texts coming in. We'll get that on the other side.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages finishing lower for the day and week as the semiconductor sector continues to drag markets lower and as U.S.-Iran tensions are adding to market jitters. The market's tech-driven rally has been put to the test as companies' massive spending on AI clouded optimism for the AI trade. Adding to worries today, Chinese AI startup Moonshot unveiled a powerful OpenAI model that it says is the world's largest, rivaling Anthropic's Frontier Fable model. And Netflix stock tumbled over 7%. After the streaming giant's third quarter revenue forecast disappointed investors. The Dow winners, Travelers, United Health Group, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Home Depot, and Alphabet. The Dow down 407 points, the Nasdaq lower by 362, S&P 500 down 76. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm David Ortiz. When I lost my mom, she was only 46. And I lost my dad to cancer. It was the worst pain I ever felt. It made me think, what will happen with the people I love when my time is up? That's why I have life insurance. Ethos makes it easy. You sort online, take about 10 minutes, and you can get up to $3 million in coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
All right, we're back on Open Mic Friday, the Darsha and Kenny show. We might have been engaging in active discourse, and although we agree on the result, how we get there might be a different pathway.
No weapons were involved.
And the way I look at it is trying to solve something before you have a crisis, where you can resolve something peacefully and you can still have a way to have the result be a positive result for the entire community. So when it comes to that, I'm about protecting all the children, protecting all of their rights. And so if somebody wants to have a private space to be able to change their clothing, I played a lot of sports. You learn things, you learn to change clothes. So nothing is shown ever. And you can do it in 13 seconds or less. I'm just saying, I don't want to necessarily give demonstrations, but I told the girls that I'd be perfectly willing to help demonstrate how they can change in front of whatever and be perfectly fine with it and never be a victim. And that is the most important thing that I think as a mother I can convey to any girl, boy, you know, and just say, you should never be a victim. Don't allow yourself to be a victim. And it's up to you and how you react to a situation. Even if there's harm that has come to you, you get to decide whether or not you're a victim or not. And I believe that we can raise our children to be ones where we honor each other's rights and we know that we need to protect our own rights, and we should always have a means of self-defense. And one of the means of self-defense is to have your own private space. And I will, every single day, I will walk to school with my child and stand in that locker room to make sure that my child can have a private space if they want it.
Here's that good speech. I think you ought to run for office. Here's the problem.
I have.
So I agree with everything you said. I always raised my children that you're never a victim, and it's never somebody else's fault. It's, you know, it's your fault if something that you have control of goes wrong. But we are now in a society where victimhood is celebrated. You look at the education system. You look at how much money Paso Robles Joint Unified School District spends on wellness centers. Because if you're stressed before your algebra test, God forbid. So we'll let you skip your algebra test and sit in the wellness center and hug a teddy bear. I was in a restaurant last night, and this girl was probably 18, 19 years old, walked in with a teddy bear to sit down and have dinner with her family, which I thought was kind of weird. But, you know, this is where society is going. You look at colleges. I read an article this week that talked about, I think it was Harvard, 30% of the student body at Harvard has some sort of I'm using air quotes, disability. You know, everything's a disability now. The only way you can get anything out of a school district is if you have individual, I forgot what it stands for, IEP. I forgot what the E stands for, but individual education.
Education plan. Program, plan.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you are a parent and you just want your kid to be picked up by the yellow school bus and taken to school, and they don't have an IEP or some sort of disability that says my kid should be able to ride the school bus, they won't get picked up. If you run an IEP, it says, you know, little Kenny gets really stressed out when he has to go to school in the van, you know, in mom's van vice the yellow school bus, so I really need you to pick him up in the yellow school bus, then the district pays attention to you. But that's the way the system has been set up.
It creates dependency, and anytime you have dependency, then you have where...
Victimhood.
Yes, thank you. So, you know, we're going to have to turn this around and get to where, you know, our children fall down, skin their knee. I was kind of raised in the generation where, you know, rub some dirt on it, stand back up, rub some dirt on it.
Put monkey blood on it.
Take a deep breath, tape them up, send them back in.
Yeah, I mean, And the parents, I mean, you've talked about the parents. I, with very few exceptions, and I'll use their names because I don't think they'll mind, but the Wallermans and the Breezes, they've fought for their daughters. There are other parents who call me all the time. They were like, I'm really upset about this. Well, I need you to write it. Well, I don't want my name out there. Well, then I can't.
Have to be willing. That's where we change it, one person at a time. And when we have one person that stands and two people that stand and three people that stand, when we have 300 that are standing, it becomes where you must pay it. The school board must pay attention to that.
Yeah, I'll say something nice
I'm
about
going
the Army,
ask.
Which I rarely do. But I used to work a lot with Special Forces. And one of the things that the Special Forces guys used to say, which I really liked, was we don't call for reinforcements, we make them. And that's the mindset that you're trying to put across here is you have to get people involved. And right now, most of the parents are either concerned about retaliation against their kids. They are concerned about retaliation against them. I had a parent who I'll broadly say worked for a government agency who called me routinely about what was happening with their daughter and did not want to say anything because she was afraid that she'd be retaliated against because she was
How do you kill that spirit of fear?
In my opinion, you have to have somebody that's up front taking the spears for them.
Courage.
And showing them that it's, you know, you can fight this. But, you know, look at the other side, you know, the parents of the transgenders. They're always at those meetings and they're very vocal. And I've had, you know, in their mind, they're, you know, they are right up there with Martin Luther King in fighting the next civil rights battle, that their child, if their child wants to be a puppy dog one day, then, you know, they'll go in, they'll fight for the right for their child to be a puppy dog. And the rest of us, if we don't go along with it, we're haters. And, you know,
it's a hater.
It's a culture of toxic narcissism, in my opinion. But, you know, my point of bringing that up is
I'm a truth seeker.
Those parents are in the fight. And our most normal people just want to live their life and have jobs and, you know, worry about, you know, taking their kid to sports and stuff like that. They don't want to have to deal with a lot of this stuff. But if this is ever going to end, the culture is going to have to be what is forced to change. And it's going to take a combination of things. Even if there are lawsuits, you know, right now, supposedly in the polls, 80% of parents in the state of California are opposed to boys and girls sports and boys and girls locker rooms. I don't see that at a school board meeting. I just don't.
All right. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, please, we are asking for your support to attend some of these meetings and get involved and see what's happening because we need you to engage. We need you to show that you have support for these things. And I know that people who have businesses, they think, oh, you know, well, I'll lose 50% of my business if I speak out. And I say, that's absolutely not correct. I said, you might initially lose 10 to 15%. First day, people will go, I'm not going to do business. Oh, you're a whatever, a Republican. Oh, you're a conservative. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. You're, you know, election denier. You might lose 10 to 15% within the first week. You'll know who those people are. And you go, oh, well, I'm glad we clarified that. And what happens is once you have taken a stand, they're not used to you pushing back. And when you stand for the truth and when you speak for the truth, and you're out there and you're supporting these different causes, I can tell you they don't like the pushback. They're not used to it. And what happens is then you have 20 to 30% more business from people that say, thank you. Thank you for taking a stand. Thank you for speaking out. I appreciate you doing that. And those 20 to 30% more are loyal. And they are the one, they are the customers that you want. So please, when you think I'll lose 50% of my business, you will not. That's my speech. We do have some text, Kenny.
Another good one.
We do have some text messages. Let's go back here. We have, isn't there a law in the city of Paso, the county says there's no camping in the riverbed? So that...
I don't know, is there?
Yeah, it's the Fish and Game, I think, Fish and Wildlife, that says that you can't be riding dirt bikes and anything in the riverbed. And I just kind of go back to, there's a lot of things that have gone on in this city that if we combined the problems or the issues, we might be able to solve a lot of problems. So remember when there was a bear in the riverbed? It didn't take more than 24 hours. It was less than 24 hours to get that bear out of the riverbed. Let's just think about...
They were worried about saving the bear from the homeless, probably.
I'm just saying, we can come up with some creative solutions here.
Does anybody fish downstream from Paso?
And you have the goats. You know, I love the goats. I want those goats to be the composting for the Paso High School District. Did they get those two composting?
The Ferraris? Yeah.
Okay, if you're not sure, go ahead, give it 2 minutes, but think about how we can solve these problems with some creative solutions that we already have at our disposal. So the school district wanted to purchase two... Go ahead.
So, you know, they wanted to buy these composters, which basically take all the food waste and turn it into rich organic compost within 12 to 18 hours. And it's a push-button electronic system, and they're $40,000 a piece. And my comment was, just get worm bins. You know, go over to, what's the vermiculture, Black Diamond or whatever it is. It's out in Creston.
And I said, get a couple goats.
Get a couple goats. There are a lot of different things. And the response was, well, you know, then, you know, the workers would have to carry it or somebody would have to pick it up. Well, somebody's going to have to pick up all the compost anyways out of your machine. And I made the comment, well, you're buying a Ferrari. And the response was, oh, we like Ferraris. We want a Ferrari.
Other people's money. Yeah. So to finish up that text anyway, no Boy Scouts can go down there. So what's the difference with homeless camping in the riverbed? And they had the opportunity to make this a permanent rule during COVID crisis, and they failed to act. That is true. We have about the fear of retaliation is real, and not only in the schools. I have experienced it even with our first district supervisor. So have I. And I mean, I'll go back to where the county, Elena Cano, the county clerk recorder, sued me. So I had to respond to small claims court and then an appeals case. And there was a lot that came out in that appeals case. I also learned how you can levy the county's bank account if they owe you money. And it turns out that you're not able to levy public funds, which is rather ironic since it was public funds that were used in order to bring a case against me. So I was very happy to win that case, by the way.
Did you ever get your money back?
No, it's an ongoing issue. I'll just put it that way. We'll get into that in a little bit, but
you got a call.
In my mind, they still owe me money. And it's not just me. The call ended. It wasn't my fault, I promise. So please call back.
She was busy talking about
herself. There's a...
Just teasing.
We do have a break, and we'll be back after the break. Please support our sponsors, KPRL Community. You guys are amazing. Love seeing so many people last night at the fair. I'll be there again today.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location, Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com. Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bourdain to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
And welcome back to Open Mic Friday, Sound Off. Please feel free. We have lots of texts here. That's really fun to see all these texts coming in here. And one for you, Kenny. Can new parents say hi to you before the meeting?
Oh, absolutely.
And when is the next meeting and what time?
Next meeting is going to be August 18th. It starts at 6 p.m. We'll probably go into closed session. But yes, please, anybody.
So how does that work? If I show up at 6 p.m., what happens?
We open the hearing, do roll call. At that point, if there are any comments that have to do with closed session stuff, then those people make the comment.
And closed
then we
session.
Go off to closed session, which could be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour or hour and a half, depending on the topic.
So typically, if you are wanting to, you can watch this online. And if you are wanting to do a public comment, you can do a public comment for an item on the agenda. You can also do a public comment overall. So items on the agenda typically are taken one at a time as they go through. And you are limited to 3 minutes unless there's a lot of people there that want to speak on the same topic. Then they'll limit it to 20 minutes to cover as many people can speak during that 20 minutes.
Exactly. So if you're in mid-sentence at 20 minutes.
Like Mr. Baker.
You may get cut off.
Which I think is ridiculous. This is, governments.
It shows the...
Why is a government formed? A government is formed to secure our rights. One of those rights is freedom of speech. Yes. One of those rights is redress of grievances. One of those rights, okay, so, it's and the consent of the governed. It is not. So the fear of retaliation, I did want to get back to that because I do understand and know that I have experienced where people in my family have been attacked, whether it's on a physical level, mental, psychological, whatever it is, I understand that as you stand, you do have to have courage, but as we know, courage is not the absence of fear, but the conquest of it. And I can tell you that there's something very empowering about standing for the truth, standing for what you know is right, and especially if you're standing for your children. So we need the mama bears and the papa bears out there. And those are not furries. It's not the same thing.
Oh, Lord. Now, I'll add on to that. I do believe that courage is courageous or contagious, rather. The saying that you always would hear in the military is nobody wants to be the first one over the top. And but once you have one or two people that stand up, then you have three or four, then you have five or six. And I've always sort of in the back of my mind said, you know, how much are your principles worth? I mean, if you're a business and you're worried about losing business, how much are you willing to take to compromise your beliefs, your principles? I can understand with a corporation, you know, where it's a board and you have public investors and you have a fiduciary responsibility. But if it's my private business, you know, are you willing to allow people come in and insult your beliefs? I mean, what's the line for you? And I think we're kind of at that point in society. Are you willing to do business with anybody? I'm not, personally. And I always reserve the right to not allow people out on my property. My principles have never been for sale. I can't picture a price where I would say, okay, yeah, you know, I'll insult my, you know, Lord and Savior, or I'll compromise this belief or that belief because that's a good price. People need to start thinking about things that way. How much are you willing to sell yourself for?
Well, and something that came out of the speech last night, President Trump's speech, is also just about the effect of the mainstream media or the lamestream media, as it's so called. But the mainstream media, with the mockingbird media, you know, where it literally is time after time after time, the same script, and you're told you must do this, you must do that. How could you put, you're a racist, you're this, you're a homophobe, you know, name your adjective, right? but there comes a point where you, using either discernment or however you get to where you're doing your research and you find out that what you believe is true and correct and accurate and for you, that you stand for that. And that has been the American spirit, I think, going back 250 years, the founding of our country. I mean, they were pilgrims seeking religious freedom, where the church was the state, you know, the church and the state were not separated, and you would die if you didn't say, okay, I will conform, or, you know, so where we get to where I think the quote was, the Americans would rather die on their feet than live on their knees. And there's something that we need to get back to, that patriotic spirit where we stand for something in America. And we're close. I mean, we are really close. So that speech last night, I think, was a way to bring forward the evidence that has been known and that things are going to be happening very, very quickly in very short order. I believe that in the next couple months, we will have a lot more information coming out. And I believe that it has been filtering through the court and the DOJ and the different agencies.
All right, so let's, I don't know how many minutes we have left, but let's talk real quick about elections and election integrity, which I know you don't like talking about this stuff, but let's bring it up.
I don't really have anything to say.
Moving ahead, you know, based off of what Trump said, I don't see even if the SAVE Act is passed next week under this new reconciliation bill where they only need 50 plus one, I think 50 plus one in the Senate. So Tillis, the rhino from North Carolina, he's already said, he did a rant yesterday. He's obviously not willing to do it. McConnell's missing in action.
I think he's... Well.
Who else is sitting on the fence for the SAVE Act? I forgot the guy's name that just got primaried in Louisiana. He's probably not going to vote for it.
We know Maine's out.
No, Maine. She's
in now.
Yeah, she said she would.
Okay.
She said
well,
she would.
Because
she knows
actually,
that she's... I think she knows she's got to, you know, get off the fence and pick one side or the other. But my point is, even if they can get the votes to pass this, I don't think it's going to be implemented in time to affect the November midterms.
I would agree, but there is the mindset, okay, we finally have recognized this is an 80-20, 90-10 issue. Everyone in the country knows that if we don't have it, we won't have any semblance of having an actual election. But here's where I am with the whole voter ID or, you know, the ID situation. It's wholly insufficient to secure our elections. So it's not enough. It's something, but it's not enough. If we continue in California to have vote by mail ballots for no reason at all, no excuse, you know, just it goes out to everybody. You have no chain of custody. We have to have, if we are going to actually secure our elections, it has to be one person, one vote, one time. They have to be citizens of this country.
Right. And I still think, you know, it's going to be fought in the courts as well, even if it passes. Now, I think Congress has the right to set the standards for federal elections. I think you can do that under federal law. They do it with all sorts of stuff. Hell, you know, the speed limit on the interstates is set by, you know, federal standards. So I think they could probably do federal standards for state elections. It's still up to the state to decide how they want to execute that election, but it's got to fall within the framework set by the U.S. Congress. And so I see the SAVE Act as a step in the right direction, but you're right. It's not. It's just the first step. I've always had problems with dual citizenship, dual citizens being able to vote. I mean, think
of having dual citizens in our House of Representatives, in our Senate. There's a lot. When you have dual citizenship,
I haven't really thought about that. But that you have to. That's a good research project.
Even if you denounce,
you have to surrender.
It's not enough for me. It is not enough to have dual citizenship. I'm an American. I don't have any other country I'm going to be able to go to if it all falls apart.
Well, after the birthright citizenship debacle from SCOTUS last 2 weeks
ago, I believe that is going to change.
Well, I hope so. But after that, when you look at the Chinese birth tourism, and what's the number? It's in the millions, 3-4 million citizens that, you know, could be dual U.S. Chinese citizens.
And 35 years president.
Yeah. And you're setting up, you know, the Manchurian candidate right now. I don't think that you should have dual citizenship. All right. So bottom line, most importantly, stay in the fight. We need candidates for the school board. That's the bottom line for today. And Darsha and I will be back next Friday. Or no, you're not here next Friday.
I'm here next Friday.
Oh, you are. And the following Friday, she's not here.
Yeah.
And then the Friday after that, I get to go back to Annapolis, Maryland.
Have fun.
This
enjoy
hour
the fair.
Sound off on KPRL was brought to you by Lynn Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vent start a fire. Contact Dylan at LynnPatrolCA.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.